Hi, Sim.
Hi, Anna. I'm blown away by this place, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Dear listeners, we are at Anna's new house, and this is my first time here. She gave me the grand tour, and it's absolutely stunning. Congratulations. I love it.
Thank you very much. It's very sweet. I've never lived out west before. I can smell the ocean, can see the tiniest glimpse of it, but but thanks. Thanks for coming out here, Sim.
I appreciate it. We have a lot to get to today.
After I just wrapped my season and went on a press tour.
Are you feeling better?
Look at my eye makeup. I didn't wash my face. I still have like fake eyelashes dripping down my cheeks. I've been telling you how vulnerable doing that stuff makes you.
And you're talking about the publicity.
Yeah, for Overboard. You know, when you go on somebody else's show, it makes me feel like I have a new sense of empathy for the guests on our show.
I will say this. I saw you on Ellen yesterday, and you absolutely crushed it.
That's really sweet of you, but I don't think I did.
You did.
It's so vulnerable to be this weird version of yourself and to, like, attempt to be funny.
You didn't attempt to be funny. You just told a story that was completely you. I felt like for the first time in a long time, I was watching you as if you were on the podcast where you can just be yourself as opposed to those really, I don't know, those manufactured canned bits where you have a pre-interview of all these talk shows. It's not the same as a long form interview.
Oh, they're so weirdly difficult. You've got like 3 minutes and I mean, I suppose there are tougher things in life.
There are tougher things in life, especially
those, Zim.
Well, relationships. Relationships are tough. Your dear listeners are really enjoying the feedback that we're getting.
It's nice when people write in because, the whole theme of kind of our podcast is we're all kind of going through the same shit. And it's wonderful when other people can relate to it. And I think it's comforting to me and it's comforting to our listeners and the callers. And so thank you guys. Please keep doing it. And we're going to read something now.
And if you want to write in, even if you want to write in just to get on the show, it's unqualified.com/contact. But if you remember from last week's episode, from the Zoe Deutsch episode, the first caller was Lisa, and Lisa had a long-term boyfriend and told her that he wanted to separate. In fact, I remember there was one line after 3 years, he wrote something like, I'm 80% sure I want to be in this relationship. And she was completely confused by it. And in fact, she told us that she thinks he's going to try and get back together with her. And she wanted to know what we should do in that position. And the advice was really interesting. You actually suspected that he was cheating on her. You weren't sure about that. I mean, I took some notes here.
I feel like I'm always cynical.
Let me read this. It's from Audrey, and Audrey is in Washington State. And she wrote, I'm currently listening to episode 117, and the caller, Lisa, is calling in about her boyfriend who broke up with her after 3 years. I've been through a very similar situation, but the roles were reversed. I was the one who broke up with my boyfriend of 2.5 years, and spoiler alert, we're happily married now. I'm writing this because I want you guys to see the situation from another perspective. First of all, breaking up with him was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. After months of therapy, I've realized I was feeling unsure about our relationship because I was feeling like I needed my own space. I was married once before, and it was a very toxic relationship that ended very badly, and my current husband is literally the sweetest person I've ever met. She goes on for a while and maybe is going through a similar situation. She's talking about this now and needs to be reminded of what Lisa means to him. I know it sounds bad, but when you are battling something like that in your own head, you forget that there are other people around that want your help. I hate how badly I hurt my husband back then, but it did bring us closer and our bond is even stronger than I ever imagined after going through such an awful situation. I'm so thankful my husband gave me another chance because I've never been so happy in my life. Thanks for an amazing podcast and for all the advice you give your listeners. Love, Audrey. So that worked out. She gave her now husband another chance and it worked out in that situation.
That's incredible. But Sim, I don't know what I believe, but do you think that men and women love a little bit differently? I would like to think that we're both the same.
I don't know how to answer that.
I know, but I would love our listeners to maybe give
write
us
in,
their thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly enough, we did get an update from Lisa. She wrote in.
Oh, great.
And she told us what happened. Got an update for you. It fucking sucks, but it is what it is. I got back together with my boyfriend. It was great for 3 days. Then things went stale again. And I found out he was cheating on me. You guys were right. No one close to him suspected that he was into someone else. Thanks for the advice. I'm eager to listen. when the podcast goes up.
Oh God, Lisa, I'm really sorry.
But that's like that's what sucks about our job sometimes, because we all felt that this guy was completely wrong for her.
I don't know, when somebody has one foot out the door and says something like eight. I mean, it's different in Audrey's case where it's like,
that's why I read
that. I feel like, should I be living a different life than I am? Or when this other guy is like, well, I'm crushing on this person, but you know, I want Lisa around too, just in case that other thing doesn't work out. I don't know. God, Lisa, I'm sorry, but I'm glad that it was only 3 days, and it will sting, and I'm sorry. Hey, Lisa, we love you, and there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of love. And the timing, you know, and probably like years from now, you're going to look back and be like, why was I into that in the first place? Because exactly. That's how it's gone for me.
And now here's the amazing Haley Atwell.
I feel like I'm in a sound booth and you're in another world.
Yeah, here I come.
Okay.
And by come, I mean come.
Oh, hi.
Oh, God. I should not be obnoxious right off the bat.
Right off the bat. Here we are, straight in.
What are my
thoughts of LA?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's changed over time. I think it's quite, for me coming in from London, it's a very transient place. So I can't always guarantee that the friends I made the last time I was here are going to be here, or even remember me, or even like me. It's really hard to tell. So it can be a mixture of really fun and really exciting when you're doing well in the industry, or absolute desert of nothing and loneliness and isolation. I don't feel like there's much of a balance.
And kind of it's while the people are very attractive, the city itself aesthetically isn't like them. I remember the first time I like came here, I couldn't believe how I was like, who are the city planners that made this?
But I like the architecture difference. It's like it's so bold to me. Like, I live in a Spanish villa, and I'm like, I'm next door, and I live in a mock Tudor house, and then next door I'm like, I live in a concrete cell. And you think, God, anything goes. Like, there doesn't seem to be.
There's a nice fuck it attitude. No, maybe it, you know what? It's not the fuck it attitude. Maybe it's like, I'm out for myself attitude.
Yeah, and there's like good and bad parts of that. So my friend was saying, they said the difference between New York and LA, for example, is that New York has a very rude way of being polite, and LA has a very polite way of being rude, which I thought was really cool and terrifying, because I would go to auditions and be like, oh my God, you're amazing. You're so incredible. Yeah, we love you. And then I leave and I never hear from them. I like turned out that, you know, someone else got the job or whatever, or it was never going to be mine anyway.
We really liked Haley, but I mean, she's really good. I mean, you can tell she's like classically trained or something. but the one thing, her hair wasn't blonde.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. That's what it is.
It might be. God, I'm sorry.
Haley, we're going to bleach your hair after this.
My career's going to take off. Just watch me fly. Yeah.
No, I was told that I would have a better career if I was a brunette. And I think a brunette. I have no idea actually what my real hair color is, but I didn't want to.
But that's the scary thing about this industry as well, and why I wanted to, when I was younger, really wanted to train, because if I went to drama school, I had this kind of foundation of this, you can't fuck with me, I know what I'm doing, because I trained in this and I have a vocabulary for it.
You are looking at me with ferocious eyes,
really,
and
I'm
like,
do you see?
Yes.
Do you see what this industry has made? It's made me so kind of just
ferocious.
It has to be. It's like that, or I'm gonna crumble.
I want you to like tame or train me, either one.
So cute. You look like a little Bambi.
I'm super cute, but just wait. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
Haley,
it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're in the what we call the mole room because of that big poster up there.
Oh, which the is mole actually, people.
Yeah, and we're here with Sim Sarna.
Hey,
Sim,
Anna.
Would you like to say hi?
Hi, Haley. Hi, Anna. This might be the last time we record at your old house.
Yeah, maybe. It might be, right?
We've been doing this for 2.5 years in this house.
So this is a special episode, potentially.
It's very special because of you, but Sim and I are not very sentimental
not really.
People.
You're right about that.
Just like, that's so good. That's so good.
So, yeah. So, fuck it. Yeah. Don't cry for me.
It's just bricks and mortar. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
is the mole people coming with you? Are they coming with you?
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's awfully imposing, isn't it?
Wait a minute. You spent a lot of money on that.
I know. I
know. How much was it? Can you do mind sharing or no?
It was a fucking fortune, but it was because my first husband really wanted that. Mm-hmm. He really wanted the whole thing. I didn't fully understand it. I like it. But
yeah. I'm sure you can sell it and make more. I'm sure it's appreciated in value. You bought it a long time ago, right?
If you want to sell it and keep the profit, I'm cool with that, dude.
All right, done. I'm going to keep the profit and I'm going to take a commission.
Seems like a lot of effort, but fuck yeah, dude.
Michael, will you get on that, please? Put that on eBay. Thank you.
But is he meant to be half human, half mole, as in like the little thing that
the, in the movie is pretty atrocious. They come out of the ground and they capture women. In dress, red dresses. Only blonde women, Haley, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well.
You cannot live underground.
Damn, I'm not going to be captured by the mole people.
So you live in the UK?
I do, yeah, in London.
You cool with the Brexit? Do you think that if you took a poll of Americans that most people would think that it was a cracker?
Oh, I don't think they would know or care. I think you've got your own problems, mate. I really think right now just there's a lot going on in this country. They're like, that lovely little country over there that speaks with a nice posh accent. What's going on with them? Brexit? What? Got to sort out some things here on your own soil.
Hey, don't put this all on me now.
No, I'm just saying. It's a luck. I know. I'm really feeling quite intense right now. I think I should do less eye contact. Just in case.
No, please, please don't. Please don't. Would you ever... like live here full time?
I would live here if I had a reason to be here. Like if I,
like what about me?
Like, could I be your? Could you be my reason?
I would love it.
Could you be my reason, Anna? This house is empty now, so maybe I can move in here.
Spooky house. There's a lot of old podcast guests stuck up in the attic, right?
And the mole people.
Yeah,
I see. I think I'd only come here now for work. Because I have a life outside of work in London, and I find when I'm in LA, it's very much an industry town, and I'm an urban city dweller. And
I think you're being gentle to LA.
I'm trying to be like diplomatic because I know some cool people in LA, but I do come away from LA feeling quite neurotic. There's a whiff of desperation in the air to do with this cult of personality, which I find it very easy to fall into because I don't want to feel alone, because I want to socialize. But I find myself going, I don't feel like I belong here, and every part of me is screaming to get out.
But I think a lot of people don't feel like I couldn't. When I think about the idea of home, okay, I grew up in Seattle or north of Seattle, I should say. Seattle always sounds way too. Like hip for where I actually grew up. But I love the idea that people actually left their hometown to pursue a dream, whether it's writing or directing in our industry or, you know, or being, an actor, obviously. Or I find that so admirable, but it makes defense high and it also sort of cultivates the idea of selling yourself constantly.
Yeah.
And that sort of awareness.
Because also, and then the selling of yourself means that you're effectively living in a very narcissistic way of life, which is actually quite isolating.
Yes. Yeah. That's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
You know, like the perfectionism that comes with that, like our obsession with the next big thing here, whether it be the person or the restaurant or the club or the artist or the food. Or it's about kale now. And now it's about insert whatever here.
Oh, I couldn't believe that. Yes. When I moved here, like the trends.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. Like, so everyone like hops on to the next trend that will make their life infinitely better than it was a month ago. And when I moved here in 99, it was like yoga and I didn't I just didn't understand the idea of like searching for salvation in that kind of way. And which is, I think, really, really common here. When I went back to Seattle one time, like for the holidays years ago, I saw some old friends and they were like, how can you stand the fake people in LA? And I felt like, well,
I too am fake, so I feel like I'm home.
Yes, yes, it's true.
I'm joking.
Did you not see my hair? I kind of appreciate the friendliness factor, but then somebody pointed out to me that people are friendly to me because they recognize me. And then I was like, well, yeah, but still, at least are friendly.
But you're, it's because also you're friendly. You have
people. That's true, I am people, super you, friendly.
Yeah, you're like... You give out a friendly vibe.
I wave a lot. Waving makes you so vulnerable. And I challenge myself. I'm like, I'm going to wave. I'm going to look like a fucking idiot. And I'm going to fucking wave.
What kind
wave.
Of wave, though? Oh, that's a kind of a bye mom at the school gates kind of wave.
Is what happened
I
right
wave
now,
on the 101. I wave on the 405. I wave whenever I can.
And what for?
Just to, you know, promote sort of joy. Somebody lets me in even when.
Is nice. It ever like a wave of, yeah, I know you know who I am. It's like an acknowledgement. Like, yes.
No. It's just like, I secretly hope that this person thinks that I'm just a ding dong idiot that just waves at everybody. That's why my wave is so goofy. Like just floppy and like, wow.
So you want to perpetuate the stereotype that Anna Faris is.
And I made you wave, remember?
When was this?
When we were going out to USC.
Yes,
I'd be
that's
like,
right.
Wait, Sim, time to wave.
It
wave,
made me
wave.
Very uncomfortable, by the way.
I know.
It was incredibly
is it
uncomfortable.
Oddly,
kind of
vulnerable?
Like the royal family.
Gesture.
Like just the royal we, the wave.
But
both
they have
together.
A very protected, like, that. Their wave is like.
It's very high. Contained, isn't
yes,
it?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's
mine
like,
is sloppy and friendly, like the golden retriever of waves. But like the kind of the dumb one of the litter.
No. Don't do that. It's
oh, I can. Cute. I can because my ego is kind of huge. So
yeah, I know what you mean. I know. You can be self-deprecating because actually you feel the opposite. It's true. It's good. But I also like that LA, exactly like you said, you can be anything you want here. And if you can start again, like we have in England this term of the tall poppy syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it's very much based on the class system still that I think I've definitely still experienced growing up in London.
Do you think that's generational? I mean, is the tall poppy thing coming from older generations or?
Yeah, I definitely feel we've inherited it. And I think, of course, times are shifting and, but there's still seeds of it here and there. There's still kind of class distinctions based on your accent, based on your surname, based on the school that you went to. There are assumptions are made about your background based on how you speak. And in fact, full disclosure here. So when I was younger and I went to an inner city state school, but I really wanted to get into theater. And my mum, for some reason, she was from Manchester, working class up north, but she came to London as a 17-year-old and was a nanny to a posh people. And she had a really kind of clear speaking voice and that was probably slightly tweaked from being with these posh people that she worked for. So I went to school and people would have think that I had money and that I had a butler because of the way I spoke. Because like I went to school with like people like spoke like, "Skip me though, what you saying?" Yeah. And so like your trainers are shit, what you wearing. So that was how they spoke.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. It's like the rude girls.
And to our listeners right now, Haley is like she was like shaking her head like back and forth, like swiveling. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
What's that show you like, Anna? The one
Essex.
The only way is Essex. Yeah.
That's how they talk?
That's kind of northeast. So okay. This was like West London.
Gotcha.
That was kind of the culture that I grew up in. And so that because I didn't always speak like that, there was just an assumption that I must therefore have come from money. But that assumption served me quite well later on because when I went to drama school, when I came out of drama school, I was getting kind of the period drama parts and it meant that also Americans could understand me more. So in sometimes it worked in my favor.
I never thought about that.
But I knew, I think I was unconscious about it, but I now realize I looking back, like I thought I needed to sound like that in order to be taken seriously in this profession and also to increase my opportunities of working in theater because there still was like this
kind of, I had this like my own class prejudice, my unconscious bias about the way that I spoke. So because we have that, there's coming to LA, there isn't much of that. I think it's like, because there's just physically more space here, people think that they can spread themselves out a bit more. And do you think this is true? So in England, if someone becomes successful, people sometimes tend to feel they become successful and that means it's the other person's failure. And there's like a envy around it. Whereas in America, I feel like if someone's successful, people go, oh, I want to jump on some of that success. And they'll love it. They'll want to kind of climb on board.
But isn't it both? I mean, it isn't sometimes within the love and sort of worship of a newly famous friend, there is the undercurrent of envy as well.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
When I would go home, and I didn't have that many friends. I still don't. Will you be my friend? But there was the narrative of like, oh, you've changed.
Right.
And
whether you had or you hadn't.
Right. And I wasn't in a place to really reflect upon that. And why should that be necessarily a negative thing?
Well, adults should develop and change and yeah, it's natural.
Yeah. But I think that the reaction of community around a success that was unexpected that wasn't predictable is tricky for somebody to navigate and you don't want to necessarily absorb somebody's bitterness in your hard work and like a sense of accomplishment, you know?
Yeah.
Sim, right?
Well, I have a question for both of you about that. Have you noticed that since both of you became successful, that your friends changed around you?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I don't know. I was always a really intimate person. Like I always had just like one or two really close friends that I sort of like was weirdly, you know, I would get like that weird, like, you know, beautiful creatures thing where I was like, I'll kill your mother if you want me to.
That's amazing. That's so funny.
It's funny because you can relate to it.
I totally can relate to it. But you have sometimes like, so do you mean, like there are times when I felt that I was too, I had a lack of boundaries, especially when I was younger, especially in my 20s. So I'd become friends very, very quickly with someone. But sometimes I'd go, am I too much for that? Am I too intense? I think I might be. I've kind of morphed into that person and that person's life. Like I did that quite a lot.
I think that, you know, people sort of reveal their hands, I guess, a little bit. Like if they, you know, if somebody was a very popular person and whatever, and suddenly they're reaching out to you. I'm too old to like hold that against them.
I think.
I'm just like,
there's space for
cool,
that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm not sure we're going to, you know, whatever. But I don't begrudge that.
Mm-mm.
But
me neither. I think that's quite healthy.
But I also don't get a ton of reward from it. And I think that that's age for me. Like, if I had went to my 10-year reunion, I went to my 20-year high school reunion. But if I had gone to my 10-year high school reunion, I think I would have, I would have felt like maybe getting more of an ego rush out of being like, I was the shy, nerdy girl that left, and here I am, I'm in Scary Movie.
So suck it, bitches. But so in a way, there's a relief to not feel burdened
not
with
care
like
about that.
Not, yeah, not care as much.
Yeah, there's just not. It's kind of a good thing about getting older is just stop caring. You don't have time. Too tired.
Too tired.
It's too much to do.
The fucking grave is coming.
Yeah. Yes, the impending doom of actual real mortality being much more of an issue about whether or not your Stacey still likes you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but Stacey is.
She never did.
She never did. No. I hated her. Yeah, I hated care about her anyway.
Oh, God. She would Where's fucking she now? Snap my training bra that I didn't need. Do you guys wear training bra? That's a thing.
Training bra, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. I have to. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't
I'll
even
just
know
say
what
it.
Training bra is.
So it's like, it's not. It's
to train
it's
a woman
support,
to be submissive, like to get ready for the rest of society. Like garment implements.
It's armor. It's equipping women early on with the armor.
Armor. I think that it's a restraint, like a bridle, you know, on a horse.
But I needed that. I was an early developer, and I'm like, if those puppies weren't tamed, oh.
I was so flat chested, and eventually, but all my friends were wearing these bras, and I was like, Mom. I get a bra, and she was like, "You don't need a bra." And I was like, "But I get dressed at gym class, and like I'm the only one who's not wearing a bra." And
it's always just what you don't like. The grass is always greener, because I always wanted to look like a tomboy. In my head, I am one, so I developed super early when I was 11, and I had boobs, and pretty much kind of overnight, I was still in elementary school.
Were you with boys? Did boys like give you like early attention? Did that fuck with your mind?
Yeah. And I didn't realize until recently how much it did.
Yes, because
you're out of it or time has gone by and you can look back on it objectively. But so walking down the street in London when I was 11 years old, looking like a woman and at one point I saw The Usual Suspects when I was 13, and that's an 18 movie. So I was looking like an 18-year-old when I was 13. And the unwanted, just the attention that I didn't know how to handle, the groping, the looks, even like some seeing what my mum's guy friends, how uncomfortable they would be if I walked into a room that, considering how I'd walked into a room the year before or something. But the massive over-sexualization of me before I had figured out sexually where I was, who I was, it meant that my sexuality was a danger to me.
Did it make you feel angry?
It makes me feel angry now because of the years of self-criticism of it, of not being able to, or not being able to see my beauty when I was younger, feeling that my beauty was going to isolate me from other women, was going to mean that I was easily could be a victim of sexual harassment. And this is something to cover up. And I never wanted to use my body as a currency within my career, because I was like, I'm not going to have long in the industry in that case. And also means I have to sustain this side of myself, which over a time, the level of the pressure that I'll be under to look a certain way, I just can't sustain that.
And isn't there like, I love it that you're talking about this, because I have so many thoughts about it, but there's like that disappointment when you realize the adults around you are looking at you in a different way, and how that kind of lets you down, like, you know, when you're a science teacher, whatever your uncle, whatever, like,
yeah,
any, like, when you realize that the adults around you are, I guess, fucking, I don't know, human is being generous, but you are starting, yeah, like you were saying, getting looked at, that didn't happen to me, but later, and I was just fucking pissed. I just remember feeling like there was a moment where it was like, oh, fuck this, like, and then I started doing weird things, like, you know, going to fraternity parties and pretending that I was 15. Just to see if like a dude would try to have sex with me, and it was like, I'm just gonna trap people because I know, like you're not gonna let me down anymore. Like I had this whole sort of vengeance
That makes sense. I
that's the kind of, we have different ways of acting out, right? So mine was to wear baggy tops, bury my head in a book and make myself invisible as much as I possibly could.
I went full on. I would wear crazy shit. I would wear these tiny little skirts. I would wear garter belts that you could see. I would wear these like 4-inch boots. Like it was this odd feeling of.
Did it make you feel powerful?
It made me feel powerful, but I also felt like, in hindsight, that I was looking for something out of people, like the expectation of disappointment, which I was looking for. So that's an odd thing on my end, you know, like, I know you're going to let me down. I'm going to like be preemptively like of seeking that. This.
Yeah. It's kind of, that's, yeah. I mean, it's so nuts.
I had also hadn't felt sexual like until much later. Cause I was, you know, I was a late bloomer, but it, like we've set ourselves up for, it's so complicated for women to navigate.
Yeah.
I don't know, Sim, I don't know, what do guys do? You're like, I just put in some hair gel at one point.
You're just like staring with your mouth open. Like,
what do guys do? I mean,
well, I don't know. I think the absorption in the climate that we were, like absorbing how we were suddenly shifting to being viewed sexually is so different for women than it is for men, right? So it's not.
I can't remember the last time I was ever viewed sexually. So it's one of those things where, yeah, I can absolutely not relate to that at all. But I get that because obviously, you know, I've viewed women sexually my entire life.
But did you ever shift characters in the sense that like, this is how I'm now going to portray myself? Do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm now at USC, I'm reinventing myself. I'm in a fraternity. Like I'm wearing a leather jacket.
Yeah, I did that when I left high school on Long Island and went to USC. I did that.
What changed? Was it a particular style? Did you have a sudden quiff?
I decided that I hated who I was in high school. I was a nerd. I loved pop culture. I loved sports. I wanted to be someone different. I never dated anyone. I was completely the typical nerd. And then I decided that when I go to USC, I'm going to be a completely different person. It's 3,000 miles away. Simran is my full name. I cut it down to Sim. So it was pretty much a new identity. I joined a fraternity, something that was completely out of character for me, if anyone knew me in high school. And then from there, I guess confidence just slowly built.
Yeah.
But like you, Anna, I was a late bloomer, of course.
I think the thoughts on LA, I think that's an element that I really love, is that...
Reinventing yourself?
Well, yeah, that people feel that people that are drawn like to leave their hometown, move here, be broke... and pursue like a crazy dream and
takes
sort
balls,
of,
doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's a particular personality type too that also is, it's a lonely personality type because you're leaving everything that you knew, and it means that like it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a fuck you to whatever, wherever you, but I like that quality in I'm drawn to that quality, whatever that is, that it's like I'm bigger than the framework of
this particular community, which is also not a judgment on the community, but rather a looking out at the other as something else.
Yeah, and I think it comes. I don't know. There's a lot of creativity like stems from loneliness and search of identity.
Yeah, anyway. And being out of your comfort zone too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then I did Scary Movie.
Yes.
My parents are so
use that
proud.
Meme with the hand.
Oh,
bop bop.
Oh,
your
Chris
nose.
Elliott's so good.
So good in that. I used that meme quite recently. I actually bought my friend, it's really on PC, a little hand from Amazon thing that just
I would like one of those.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Invite me back on the next podcast in your new home. And I'll bring you a little hand.
Okay, because usually when I say that I want something, people just get it for me right then and there.
Oh, really? So this time you're going to have to wait.
I'm American, Haley. American.
America. Yeah.
We get what we want.
You've got so much stuff. There's so much of everything here.
But I need a little hand.
But you don't have a little hand. For the girl who's got everything, get her a little hand. Yeah, to slap you in place by the sounds of it.
Oh, don't you get all British Empire on me.
America now.
Oh yeah, America. I'm half American. My dad's from Kansas City.
Oh, what a disappointment.
I know, I'm sorry. See, you think that I'm just like this British person that comes over. Like, no, I'm from Missouri.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Your American accent is amazing.
Thank you. Oh, my God. It's a particular character, though. I feel that's like when I do an American.
Oh, okay. Really... Wait, what's her name?
Well, I don't know, but so I had a friend once who she was living in LA, and she called me in the middle of the night, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and she was like, "Oh my God!" And I was like, "What's wrong? What's, are you okay?" And she's like, "I just, oh my God, I just ate a whole jar of peanut butter. I don't know what's wrong with me." And I was like, "This is amazing."
So let's say you're Ashley M.
Ashley M.
You're
I'm not going to tell you what the M stands for because I want to be mysterious.
You're auditioning for a reality show. Let's say it's like it's going to be like a should we do like a weight
a weight loss show?
No, I was thinking like a waiter show.
A waiter show?
Yeah.
What's that?
You know, like Vanderpump Rules or something.
Do you know Vanderpump Rules?
No.
Ashley does.
Ashley, yeah, I love that show.
Hey, so Ashley M, it's really great to meet you.
Hi.
So it says here that you are a waitress, but you want to be an actor.
Yeah, well, I'm an artist, so I see like I serve the world with my art the same way like I serve a meal.
By art, what exactly do you like mean by art?
I mean like, creativity. You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I do. Yeah,
feeling that I just want to give.
It seems like you have a lot to say, you know, to the world. What do you think? Like your overall message would be if you could give one message to the world?
Well, I think my message would be like I feel like the message is no message. Like, why does there have to be a message? Like, why can't we just be, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
well,
just like just be.
So does that mean that you're sort of like sexually fluid? Are you cool with, are you single? Are you cool with like potentially, you know, dating and hooking up with some of the other waiters on the show?
Yeah. Well, I totally believe that, you know, we should express ourselves however we feel, you know, like it's all just about your truth, like having your truth. And so sometimes like a guy will be angry that like I like another guy, and I'm like, well, I'm just in my truth. So if you can't honor that, then that is an issue maybe to talk to your therapist about.
I'm getting
like
really,
it doesn't really
jealous. Actually, I don't want to be the casting director anymore. I want to be also Ashley's best friend.
Oh hi, I'm gonna play the director of the show now.
Hi.
So,
oh my God.
So Ashley, your audition is amazing. You brought your friend. She was in the waiting room. What's her name? You want to introduce her?
Oh, this is Tiffany G.
And Tiffany, do you want to audition as well?
Yeah, but I want to be called Tiff.
Okay.
Because I want to be sort of like, I don't know. Anyway. One syllable.
So would you two want to wait together?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Well, we often like
yeah, we do
wait.
Yeah,
like,
together.
I spend most of my life like just waiting.
We
wait yeah, really well. Yeah. We just be.
We,
you know?
It's, yeah.
You two have amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you both are connected.
We've had a lot of really good. Remember that time in the desert?
Oh my God!
Yeah, no, we've had it. Anyway,
oh my God,
yeah, no, we
guy
were like we
under the Joshua tree.
The thing is that it's like this. Everyone wants to like label you, you know?
Yeah, and like and just be free. Just be, you know.
And
like,
I'm really spiritual, and Ashley's super spiritual.
Yeah,
and
like,
she's
we love spirits.
Capricorn,
with Virgo rising, but my sun is in Pisces.
Yeah.
And my
And by sun, she means S-U-N, so don't not cast her.
Oh my God, you're so witty. You're so witty.
Thanks.
How would you feel if only one of you made the cut to the next round? How would you feel?
Oh my God, we'd be fine.
Tiffany wouldn't mind. No, I mean, because I mean, it is about
but
me,
we are sort of a team. I mean, I'm blonde. She's brunette.
Right, like, but there'd be no jealousy at all between you two.
No,
if one made
oh my God, no, never.
Never. Oh my God, I love her.
I mean, I love her.
I just like her success is my success. Yeah. You know? But I mean, so she won't mind that this is my show.
I will fuck anybody you want me to.
I don't know if we should be, I don't think that's appropriate. Wait. I don't think we can talk about that right now.
Oh, I'm just saying if that's like helpful at all.
Tiff, what do you think? We're auditioning for exactly.
This is the waiting tables show.
Yeah, where everyone fucks each other. And I thought that it would really give me a leg up or leg spread advantage if, you know, I just proffered that. But this is, it's all about the idea of just being like in
being
the
like
moment.
Creative. Like, yeah. I just want you to see how creative we are because we like to do stuff and then be afterwards.
Like fuck.
You're both hired. Congratulations.
Wow, what utter nonsense are we talking about? What am I just unleashed to the world?
I want to see this show.
Me too.
Yes, yeah. But there needs to be the dude. Who's the dude that they're both fucking?
Oh my God.
There's like a waiter that they're fucking? Or
yes.
Like the head chef?
Totally. No, it's a waiter like that they're both fucking, and it's like, you know, his name is XXX. You
he
know,
might
just
be the
like
bartender.
Dax, but like triple the X's.
What about the bar? Aren't bartenders sexier than waiters?
Oh, yeah. They can do the little cocktail shakes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jazz.
Yeah. They don't have to give as much of themselves, so they feel like they're hard to get. You know?
I wanted to do this. What was that? They're harder to get?
Yeah, because. Just came out of my mouth because they're, you know, they don't have to give as much of themselves. You know, bartenders they're allowed to be have like a snobbier quality than waiters.
Yes, yes, that's true. That's,
Cassie, am I right?
They do have them.
Cassie was a bartender in former life.
Yeah, but there's like a reverence to a bartender because they also hold a lot
and you
of
just
power
need
when
so
you're
much.
Up against
exactly.
The bar.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like please. Yeah. Whereas, you know, as a waiter, you're like. You're just sucking it up all the time.
I worked in a cafe before I came out to LA and before I went to drama school, actually, that was attached to a health club. And I just remembered that feeling of, it was terrifying. It was just the constant kind of apologies for not putting enough froth on a cappuccino.
And I remember feeling just how difficult it was to concentrate on somebody saying something very boring to you. Like,
you mean like I am in this podcast to you?
Like they want the fish
hint?
And chips and they want the soup and in a cup, not a bowl. And it's like, I don't know. I'm kind of a fucking idiot, but I think that it's
how do you
easier.
Want them to deliver it? And like iambic pentameter,
like with a
bit of a
tiny dance number.
Well,
I want them to stand up and sing it to me.
They need to sing for their
spice.
Supper, literally. Yeah. Quite right.
It was just hard. It's hard. Oh God, the problems. The problems of Anna Faris. Okay, so we're going to go to a segment called Deal Breakers. You can do whatever you'd like with this information.
Okay.
All right. We're imagining, Haley, that you are single.
Okay.
On a first date,
mm-hmm.
He cuts you a piece of his steak and tries to feed you a bite of it.
It's a little condescending, but it's not a deal breaker.
Do you like steak?
I do like steak. It's like medium rare would be good.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm with you with that. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh,
a
yeah.
Creepy.
Like,
tiny bit
I don't know. It really depends
if
on the rest of the
date's going really well
yeah,
and you're really into the guy.
Because it's an intimate moment.
It's extremely
exactly.
Intimate. For a first date?
What would be a deal breaker is if I said, if we'd order different things and he said, wow, this steak is amazing. And I'm like, oh, can I try a bit? And he went, no, I don't share. Like that to me
oh, yeah,
would
that's,
be,
yes.
That would be the deal breaker. Yeah. So I'd prefer him giving
what
me
if,
some.
What if you ordered like a carbonara or something like that and he like started dipping into yours?
Uninvited.
Uh-huh.
Oh no, that's a bit of a deal breaker. I think so. I mean, it's just quite presumptuous.
I kind of think it's sort of charming, but I'm also imagining a charming person. I don't know why.
Yeah, it depends on the person, yeah. Doesn't it? Some people, do you know how like some people, especially like movie stars who have a particular kind of charisma where they do appalling things with such charm, they're the only person that can get away with what they've done.
Right.
Like, and it's deeply unfair. Unjust.
Yes.
But you go, yeah, sure, you can treat me like shit. I don't mind. You're so charming.
Giggling. Okay, you go back to his place, and when you go to the restroom, you see pee all over the toilet seat.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Is it? Why?
It is because I'm too old for that kind of shit.
Oh.
So if I'm dating people who are around my age group or my dating age group, and they're doing that, it's the lack of hygiene thing. I mean, I don't know where else I'm going to find evidence of urine.
What if he says that he has two different urethras? He has a genetic problem.
Like a two-pronged
penis. And so one of them, and he's really sorry that,
like,
you know,
the mole people.
You know, that he, I don't know, that he didn't get, like, you know, some Lysol wipes to.
Listen, I would be fascinated by him.
Would you ask him, like, hey, is there pee all, there's pee all over, or would you just be like, no, this is not my deal?
Yeah, I think I just think that would be such a deal breaker for me. I think.
Do you understand men that like to pee on women?
No. But I do know a story.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you who it is after this podcast, because it's a famous person.
Ooh.
And my friend hooked up with this guy, and she came into rehearsals the next day, and she went, yeah, so we were in the shower and just discussing like where we were going to maybe go and get brunch or something, and we were just washing, I was washing my hair, he was washing his hair, and I looked down and he was peeing on me.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Like in an erotic way?
No.
Or in like, I'm
so this is
really
the thing. It
relaxed.
Wasn't erotic. It was, I'm so relaxed. I'm just, and I
was he laughing
shower.
Or was he
didn't
not,
refer oh. to it. Did not even refer to it. And she was so shocked. She was too confused by the fact that A, wasn't in a sexual context, because that would have given her a different understanding of what he was into, but also that he wasn't acknowledging what he was doing. And so she didn't know if she was meant to acknowledge it, if she didn't know what it was about.
Was
right?
he holding his penis and like aiming, or was he just like, was it just
that? I think it was just she got caught up in the stream.
Okay, so then he wasn't intentionally peeing on her. He was just
peeing
in the shower.
But he wasn't going out of his way not to get
He
on
valued
her.
His pee in a subconscious level, right? Like, is that what the, because I've,
if he's
peed
actually
in the shower.
Yeah.
Everyone's peed in the shower.
Of course.
But if he's actually holding on to his penis and like aiming and like peeing on her leg or her foot, that's
what
weird.
What if he's like,
I think it was almost passive aggressive though. I think it's like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, if I don't tell, I'm not going to tell her I'm doing this. I'm not going to acknowledge the fact that I'm doing this. And in a way, that's even more kind of.
What if she needed to be cleansed with movie star Peter?
I think that's what he thought. I'm sure.
Because there's a reason why you tell. Yeah,
I'm like sure, this beautiful this talent serum.
Yeah,
that I'm gonna.
You should save this. I'm gonna clog. You should clog the drain. Make this into a soup.
Oh, and a nice little elixir to put on as day cream.
I'm sure it was some kind of weird test to see if she would mention anything.
Maybe. Maybe. But I mean, what did I do? I don't know. How would you have responded if we? Okay, so you. So I'm. Look, I'm like this. So we're in. We had a really hot night together. We're now being really cute with each other, talking about brunch. And I'm. We're standing there, and I'm like, yeah. So I think we'll just like maybe there's a great little greasy spoon down the road. We could get some fries and get some, you know, some eggs and whatever. And yeah, what do you think? Yeah, and then I've got an audition later, so I'm gonna have to leave, love you and leave you. But
oh, you still have to audition.
Very good answer. No, he probably doesn't.
Damn it! Oh, No. I'm.
By the way, when you were talking, because it's a podcast, yeah. You were moving your hips and peeing.
Yeah, I'm peeing. But look, I'm not looking down. Going, I'm just up here, just right. Going. So yeah, let's go and do that. And I don't know if did you see me in that movie? It was.
Oh my god!
You're
so good. You're just amazing.
Is that how you'd respond? You'd say he was amazing?
No. First of all.
That means we're showering. We're enabling people.
I wouldn't shower like with somebody
that early on.
But that's just me. I mean, listen, I am a dirty person. That's all. I just like to clean myself alone sometimes. But also, I think I would be like, okay, I'm clocking this now. I might steal some of that really awesome shampoo that I think I saw at Barney's was like $65. And because I just got peed on by a movie star that I spent all night fucking.
I don't know.
It's a story for the grandkids. Let's get some French toast, you dick. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, how I know, would. Right? It's quite alarming. You don't know how to kind of, what do you do?
One time with my college boyfriend, I peed in his belly button. I really got a kick out of that.
Wait, explain. Can you explain this? You said it so casually and nonchalantly. Now you have to really
get it. Because I was really proud of it because it just cracked me up that I did that.
How did you do? Where were you? Explain the
situation. I was straddling him.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I just like peed just the tiniest bit, which takes a lot of urethra.
This
control.
Is before sex? Right.
I don't remember that part.
Well, you were both naked.
It was fucking college. It was like 34 years ago.
But you
ago.
Were sitting on a stomach.
Yeah.
And then you decided to just pee
God,
a little
why
bit.
Why am I telling this story? Yeah, I just peed in his belly button and I got a total kick out of it.
What because, did he say?
Because he it was so, what was so funny is that he couldn't really move. He was like trapped because you go, you know, you move one way.
Will he pee on the bed?
Yeah. Then he has to, you know, do some laundry.
So that's about control then.
So you had to go, yeah. So you went and go got a napkin or something?
No, I just left.
Oh I'm gosh. Learning so much about you today.
Yeah, I guess I was going, you know, I don't know, midterms were coming up. I don't know. I was mad. I don't.
You should hook up with this other guy. You should hook up the shower guy, shower man.
I did know a PA once who drank his own pee. He was on a diet of his own pee.
There was an English actress that I think in the 70s or the 80s who was known for that. Unfortunately, she became more known for that than any of her work. But she would...
Same with this PA.
Oh. This PA. Oh, God. Taxi. Yeah, but apparently it has certain benefits. Well, she thought so. That it's had certain, but it's coming out of your system. That means it's not meant to be in your body. So why recycle it?
I'm with you on this. Yeah, I don't know. Sim, what would you ever drink your own pee?
No.
Why?
Do you know who Bear Grylls is?
Yeah, the Bear Grylls, right?
Survival guy.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah, but he talks about filtering it, and so when you're in a very extreme situation, that's a good thing to know how to do.
Okay,
you can drink your.
Let's say, sense. I'm in the woods. Mm-hmm. I only have one glass of wine. I'm trapped, right? If I drink my own pee. Do I get any residual effect? Like, can I keep reusing any benefit of the numbing quality while I'm stuck in the woods that I can't get out of?
Are you saying that if you drink your own urine, does that mean you have just more diluted wine?
Yes.
Ah. I think so.
Thanks, guys.
And it will keep you warm.
Great.
It will keep you warm, and it will keep you happy as you die death all by yourself.
I'm going to start my own winery.
Haley, you're going to get a case.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Should we take a 5-minute break?
Let's do a 5-minute break. Are you okay on time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have two calls. We're going to give advice.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll be done.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay, so Anna, this call coming up is something that we've never tackled before on the show, but I think it's a very, very interesting question that she has at the end, okay? So let's listen to her and we'll figure this out together. We're going to call Jennifer, and Jennifer is in Boise, and she is 37, and let's dial her right now. Oh, a little loud, guys. Sorry.
It is pretty loud.
Hello.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
How are you? It's Sim. Anna, say hi to Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for doing this. And we have the gorgeous and brilliant Haley Atwell. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to introduce you as gorgeous right off the bat, but
no,
you are.
No, I'll take it. But, are you kidding? That's very nice.
But Haley's
hi,
here.
Haley.
Hello.
We've been having a wonderful time here
I
in Los
love
Angeles.
You. You're so beautiful, Haley.
Oh, thank you.
Haley has a great, great show on Stars that is actually, it came out on Sunday, so we're releasing this next week, and it's Howard's End. So I wanted to get that in. So,
thanks.
You know, your
fuck
publicist
you,
hasn't
Sim.
Going.
Thank you. All right.
Fuck you.
But we do have.
But it's not about me right now, Sim.
Right now it's about Jennifer. And Jennifer is a little sensitive, this topic. Let's talk about what's going on.
Okay. But I can't fangirl out to Anna real quick and tell you how much I love you and that you're like the my favorite person that I don't know in the world.
Oh, my God. Jennifer,
like,
I love you so
I
much.
Adore you.
You're
I'm
my
like,
favorite
I love
person
you.
That I don't know.
Yeah,
that's such
like,
a great
I,
line.
I don't know you at all, but you seem really awesome and really kind and so beautiful, and we love your show. So there's my
favorite
girl.
Thank you so much. That like, as a person growing up who didn't have any friends, well, and now, actually.
You're certainly making up for it now.
I thank you so much, and thanks for doing this. Thanks for, like, you know, calling
it
and yeah
it's brave isn't it
I'm blushing really thank you I love you Jennifer
all right Jennifer talk to us
yeah I love you too yeah and I have yeah so I have nobody else to talk to about this so that you're my new friend I have been married to my husband for 5 years we have two little children under 5 they're amazing and my husband is truly just an amazing human being he's so wonderful and I love him deeply. But a couple of years ago, there was a guy at work who I had met and he was very flirty with me. And it's such a cliche, but it was the work crush thing. You know, I hated him at first, but there was a connection and sexual tension. but I never in my mind at the time, I never thought anything would ever happen. So I just enjoyed the flirting. And then he did leave the company that I worked for. A couple of months later, there was an opening at his company for me to grow and for me to get a better position. And he helped me get that job. And that meant that we were working together a lot. So I went over there and the sexual attention was so palpable and everybody around us could see that and feel it, always commented on it. And then we ended up going on a work trip and on that work trip, we drank a lot and ended up sleeping together. I did think that maybe it was, you know, it was a good chance to just get that sexual attention out of the way and then kind of move on. Obviously it's a terrible thing that I did and I definitely felt like a piece of shit, but I just needed, I don't know really what I was thinking. And then after that, it just got worse. It actually became more of an emotional affair than it did a physical affair. We talked a lot. We told each other we had feelings for each other, but that we knew we weren't going to leave our spouses for each other, but just wanted to stay in each other's lives. And, you know, it was physical a few more times. But then he did leave that company and went to a new one. Before he left, he asked me if I would like to continue on the affair. And I said no. I didn't think it was fair to my husband. It just made me feel terrible thinking about it. I didn't want to lose him, but you know, we were going to be friends, so it was going to be fine. So in the last 6 months, we've talked here and there, but a couple of weeks ago out of the blue, he called me and asked me out to lunch and I accepted knowing it was probably not a good idea. So we went out to lunch and, we talked about maybe starting things up again. And that we have love for each other, but it's just you know, this is a way for us to stay in each other's lives while also being with our spouses. And I was okay with that, you know, and then we were leaving, he kissed me, and then it was just, I went home and I just felt horrible. So I made a decision to just completely cut it off with him because I knew I was falling in love with him. So I did. I cut it off. I called him. I told him. I blocked him on everything, phone, email, every social media out there. I blocked him. And then I told my husband, but I did not tell him that anything physical had happened. I just told him that I was falling for somebody else. So after I told my husband about the, what is considered emotional affair, he was so amazing to me. He took it as a sign to be there for me more, to fix our relationship. He said to me, I know I lost you. It's been a rough year. And we, you know, let's just, it's, we need to make this about us. We're not parents, you know, we're not just parents. Let's strengthen our bonds and everything. And it was so wonderful and so great. And we really needed that. So, you know, I was very upset about breaking things off, you know, for good with the person that I was having an affair with. And I was upset. I was crying a lot for a day and I let myself kind of go through it, but then I felt better. And I feel like I've had my husband back. However, I don't know what to do. Do I tell him that I did get physical with this person? It's, I've told him pretty much everything except that, which is obviously the scariest part, but what do I, you know, how do I go on and try to rebuild our relationship knowing that I'm holding something like that back? And you know, what do I do? How far do I go? What do I tell my husband?
Oh God, this is a tough one. Hey, Jennifer, when your husband like reacted in a pretty calm way and he said something, what did you say? That he realizes that, you know, he wasn't there or whatever. Like, do you think that there was infidelity on his part at all?
No, not at all. He travels, like I said, he travels for weeks at a time. And here's the thing. Like, I obviously, I'm kind of a piece of shit for doing something so horrible to my husband and family.
What I like the sound of is that he... Am I right in understanding that when you talked about it, he took responsibility for issues that you were having in your own relationship that he felt should be addressed and wanting to bond and wanting to find new ways to reconnect?
Yes, it's ridiculous because it was my fault. He shouldn't even be taking the blame on that. I was actually very surprised at that reaction.
Well, it's such a complicated situation and that you obviously you have a lot of guilt around it. And confusion around it.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, the frustrating thing is going, oh, and your husband's kind of been so amazing. Does that make you kind of feel worse about it, about yourself? You know, if he was, you know, so if he reacted really badly to it, would it have lessened your guilt or would it have changed the course of your relationship even? And the fact that you're in this situation now, you're left with the guilt of it. So it sounds like from what you're saying that you're trying to figure out how to process that guilt so you can move forward from what happened as opposed to doing anything that would change the relationship or the circumstance you're currently in. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, and there is that whole thing of like if you do tell him, as painful as it may be, and who knows what the repercussions would be of the confession, but it relieves the burden of the secret from you, which is could be viewed as a selfish act as well. But not telling him is also, you know, of course there's like a sense of it's the burden that you carry, you know, with somebody who's supposed to be your most intimate partner.
I've not been in the situation and I don't judge the situation at all. I think emotions
you
and
can
relationships,
judge, it's totally fine.
But I really don't, because I don't feel like I have a right to, because this is your story, this is part of your narrative and you're figuring it out as you go along, and we all make mistakes, and relationships, I think, are the hardest thing in life. The personal relationships are so, so hard and they're ever evolving. And it's sometimes you're in a relationship and there is like a mirror to yourself that's held up that can be much uglier, yes, than we could ever have thought. Well, and that we do things that we thought, I never thought I would do that, but you do. And
you keep thinking like, am I this person?
Yeah.
Am I this person?
Define me?
Exactly it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like this is not to do with your husband. This is to do with can you forgive yourself?
Yes, but I also do think it has to do with her husband. I mean, I wonder if he travels a lot, that if you do decide to tell him, and I don't know if I'm, I don't, I true, like, this is where I am so unqualified, because I don't know, I couldn't advocate for one position or the other, but I do think that you fell for somebody else, you know, fully, I think. And you know, you had these very strong feelings towards this other person. And we get a lot of people that call in when we talk to callers, and a lot of women that are successful and intelligent and amazing, and they talk about how amazing their boyfriends or husbands are, but then there's this other thing. And I think that we've, like, sort of been socialized to always think those, you know what I mean? To always be like, oh, this person's amazing. I'm early on, I made the right decision. I married this person. I wonder if that shouldn't be more closely examined too. I mean, if...
Do you mean, like, is someone staying in a marriage because they believe it's the right thing to do as opposed to what they want to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's always a reason that we fall for somebody, you know? And then it's only in hindsight that we think like, oh, well, you know, we grew apart or there were differences or whatever other things came in the way. So I don't know if that's something to maybe examine a lot. Like, I just don't want you to convince yourself that you need to be in this marriage if it's not quite right.
That's the first thing. Are you completely in love with your husband?
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like, yes, I'm completely in love with him, but I'm also in love with somebody else still. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think about the other guy, and it's only been a couple of weeks, but I do. I think about him. I don't, we had said, you know, I was like, well, maybe if in, you know, 20 years when, you know, my husband died or something and your wife finally divorces you, we'll be together. And, you know, and he said, there's no question that if it wasn't for our spouses that we would be together. So, and that's sort of what I was left with. And I do think about that, but
so he's married as well.
He is married with two young children as well.
So the chances are.
The thing is also with him, well, he's cheated on his wife many times.
Oh, that's telling. Hello. That's telling.
That's some new information. That's really good information to have, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a total shitbag.
Okay. So he's definitely not an option here.
He's a total shitbag. Mm. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons it deters me a little bit from anything. But I also but we do have a really strong connection, and I know that there's,
and probably the sex was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But listen,
Jennifer, a strong connection with a lot of people, though.
Yeah, but Jennifer, here, okay, I there's no easy answer here. I think that this conversation, which I think you should probably have with your husband, it has to be all about timing. It might even be a couple years from now. It might be, I don't know. On one hand, of course, my loyalty is with you. I don't want you to have to carry around this burden. I want your husband, if you love him and you feel close to him, to also feel protected. I'm not sure you should say anything yet.
Mm-hmm. That's where I was thinking too.
I would wait.
So not yet?
Not yet.
But you know what? I'm going to say something possibly controversial. I don't think you should say anything at all.
I'm with you.
Because
I'm 100% with you.
You've already expressed, actually, that you have cheated on him.
Yeah.
Whether that's emotionally or kissing, or you don't get to go into the details of it. And I think what I'm hearing is you're trying to process your own guilt. And for you to tell your husband, it hurts him. And not telling him is not being dishonest. It's withholding information that would be more detrimental to the relationship and to him. And if you can possibly find a way to process this with a therapist, with a professional who will help you find coping mechanisms to process your own guilt, then you might be able to move forward within yourself rather than having to do it with your husband. I don't think that a husband and wife relationship has to be all things to each other at all times.
Yeah.
You're not going to fully be able to understand each other. And so I think it's an act of love and selfless love and generosity by not telling someone something that you know is going to hurt them just because you think it's relieving you of your own guilt.
And men do that crazy thing where they just think about the other penises that have been in you. And if they're bigger, then truly, right?
You're 100% correct. The whole time I was listening to Jennifer, I'm thinking to myself, if I was her husband, how would I feel if she told me the truth? It would drive you crazy. It would drive me absolutely crazy.
And on top of that, it will make him mistrust you more.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, he shouldn't trust me, first of all, obviously, you know, because I've already done something that broke his trust. And he is like half aware of it. But the other thing is, and another reason why I thought maybe telling him is because I feel like this person that I, you know, blocked out of my life, he's going to come back in my life again somehow. And I think a part of me feels like if I tell my husband about it, then it's done. I'll never be able to see this other person again because, you know, it's done. There's no way I can't go back from that.
Have you told other girlfriends or people in your life that this has happened? Or are we the first people that you're confiding in this secret with?
I have told one person. And she is one of my best friends, and she's been completely unjudgmental about it. Yeah, she said to me to not tell him anything at all about it. Because she knows how much he loves me and that it would hurt him.
I have another question. When you were saying, sorry, if this guy, in terms of a working environment, it means that it's possible that you will see him again, or the fact that your husband knows who he is, that he could potentially see him again. So this person, even if you didn't have any kind of personal contact with him, you might be in the kind of the working environment.
Yes.
Okay. So that's it's not like there's absolutely no chance your husband will ever meet this man. There is a chance.
We're in the same world.
Jennifer, it's telling when you talk about how like confessing to your husband would be a preventative for a future affair. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that to me, it sounds like, I don't know, maybe you and your husband, I don't know, to me, it definitely sounds like, I think you need to examine where you're at in your relationship, and life is short. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
If I'm trying to read you correctly, I think that you're not convinced that Jennifer is still in love with her husband. Is that what it is?
Yes.
You're convinced. You don't think she is.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jennifer. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, and I know you don't want to hurt him. And you have all these conflicting feelings, like whether it's society or family or friends and kids and whatever. But I think that will, I think that you're probably vulnerable to another affair, and I think this guy, I don't know. I think, you know, it's a big question for you, I think, is examining if you want to be in your relationship. And
it's hard when you have guilt, right? So you feel
right,
like you're being
and a bad it's doing him, but it's doing him a disservice if you're convincing yourself that this is the right thing to do. You know, if that's the chore, you know, if that's a burden that you feel, that's doing both members of the party here a disservice, if that makes sense. And you know, I don't know, women feel so much pressure to like make something
work.
But you know, like all of us, we want to feel passion and love, and like, especially when you have young kids, it's like, oh, you know, your whole identity has changed. You're like, I have to go to the fucking grocery store. What the fuck? To get applesauce? Fuck you. Sim, welcome to the world of young kids.
Well, and you know what I think is too, like when he, you know, cause he's out of town a lot. Like I went through like a health scare. I actually had the second baby. He wasn't in the country. I mean, so I think that there is a lot of, on my side, a lot of resentment that I try not to have.
Because, right.
But the one thing I wanted to say about that in particular is that just because you feel like you've done something bad, as in having an affair, doesn't mean that you can't now feel resentment towards other things that
he's
done.
Yeah.
That you're not like, well, I'm such a... It's not like a tit-for-tat competition of going, but I'm such a bad person, so I can't be angry with him that he wasn't present for the birth of our child.
That's right. That is a good point. And maybe, Jennifer, even like, if you're alone raising young kids... That's a difficult position to be in. And while you're consumed with your own guilt, maybe you haven't been able to step back and analyze the relationship at all, and sort of analyze whether, like, who's making whom happy. And
Well, do you think it's possible to be in love with two people at the same time?
I think you make a decision. I mean, I think there's just different forms of love, and you can have a deep emotional bond when you have, especially in a marriage, which takes over time, it develops and changes, and it becomes at times more about a companionship or the raising of children versus that kind of lust and passion and desire that can be all consuming with someone who is also unavailable. That in itself, the danger of that, especially when you're that comes with, which is temporal and it has this kind of fire about it that will burn out quickly.
And it's interesting you chose this guy too, because
the guy who's done it with many other people.
Yeah, because he's like...
He's a professional. He's done it before. He's very good at it. He's a manipulator.
He sounds predatory. He knew what he wanted. He's done it before.
I know. Yeah. I fell so stupid. I know.
No. It's just interesting that's how, you know, the personality type that you sort of escaped to with, like, your, you know, the discontent in your marriage, or, you know, like, or being alone, or the loneliness that you felt and wanting to feel, it's interesting that it seems like it was kind of a temporary guy, even though because you acknowledge that, but you sort of romanticize the idea that, you know, in like 20 years you guys could be together. I think that I wouldn't say anything to your husband now at all, but I would start to think about the happiness that you're getting, because it's so important to to go through life doing things. You don't want to be on your deathbed being like, oh yeah, well, I fucking stayed in it for the kids, you know, because the kids are going to be like, oh yeah, they're not even there at the nursing home. They're not even fucking paying for the nursing home. They haven't visited me in fucking 20 years.
Haley, you mentioned couples therapy earlier. I think that's a great first step. I think couples therapy is important. Even if you think things aren't going well, just as a you don't believe in therapy at all?
No. It's not that. No. I'm just worried that as soon as, I think that puts Jennifer in a vulnerable position to confess. And it's an area where everyone's like talking about like whatever.
They're working on their marriage.
No, I have another alternative.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
All right. By the way, I'm a big advocate of therapy. 100%. But go ahead.
Yes, I am too. But first, I think that you and your husband should go, like, if you can, take a week-long vacation someplace, just the two of you. I don't know if you have family that can watch your kids, but I think that will be a very telling...
How do you relate to each other without the responsibilities of a family?
Exactly. And you guys are now spending a lot of, you know, a time together, like a road trip to Seattle or a trip to Hawaii. Like, so I think that... I think that it's really important that you two get to know each other a bit again. And then you can assess properly later on, is this a relationship that I want? Am I still thinking about the other dude? Like, how do I feel? You know, like, when the kids, you know, leave the nest, am I going to feel very bonded with my husband? Like, what do you envision the future? And the only way to tell that, I think, is by spending some intense time together alone. And I don't know if you guys can pull that off, but that is, I don't know.
We're actually planning on that for our anniversary.
Oh, you are? Oh, good.
That's good.
Yeah, because we know we need that. So we actually just kind of a couple days ago said we're going to go do this because it's next month. Yeah. So
good. Oh, that's great. That's great. But yeah. Jennifer, I would, if you can, carry the burden for a bit. And because it's like that kind of confessing that is a degree of, it's all about timing and it's...
And if you were to, you know, the thing about talking to a therapist, if that's something that appeals to you, is you're in a room with someone who carries no emotional baggage and no judgment about what you're saying. So you can unpack very messy and complicated feelings. And you might discover that you still hold resentments to your husband that you feel that you're not allowed to have because what you have done is infinitely worse. And just saying, if that feels like a confusing thing, then a therapist allows a neutral environment for you to explore that without feeling that you're going to be detrimental to your husband. You can take your time to figure out how you feel about him and how you felt about this guy and what actually happened.
Jennifer, did you say you're going on a road trip? Where did you say you guys were going to go?
We are going to take a trip. Yes, we're flying and we're going to go take a trip just to New Orleans just to
hang out. You know what? Just fuck him a lot if you love him. Like, give him a lot of fucking blowjobs. Just fuck him.
Yeah.
Make him feel so fucking loved.
Our sex life has been amazing since I, you know, told him that I was falling in love with somebody else. No, that's been good.
All right. Well, that's great. It sucks that you will have to keep this, at least, you know, I think that you should keep this a secret for a while. If you are in love with him, you don't want this seed planted in his head that, you know, he's not satisfying you as a man. It's like just so much about their fucking cocks and they're just like, am I big enough? Right, Sim?
Pretty much.
But, like, what if I see the other guy again? Like, what if he comes crawling back into my life? Because I know he will.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, then this is the
This
journey
is not a question
you.
That you can ask us. This is on, that's on you.
I think you don't do anything until, take in New Orleans, reconnect with your husband, keep your secret, and don't contact this guy. And if he reaches out to you, don't contact him at all. Because first of all, even if things are not great with your husband, which it sounds like they are, but even if they weren't, don't be with that fucking dude. He's like a serial cheat. I'm sure he's like says the same lines. He's good at what he does, you know, of like, yeah, don't you think, Sim? Like, if he's
I don't
a
like
serial
yeah of course
cheater,
this guy like, is a complete is professional
the writing's
it,
on the
it
wall
so manipulative
it does like, sound though that be, that you're open to the to letting him do that to you again, that you're and that you could be enticed back into that drama. And so if that is the case, maybe change can only come from you hitting your whatever your rock bottom is with the involving yourself in someone who is has a terrible history with women of being predatory and manipulative of your emotions, that you takes you into this place that's not a healthy relationship, that you risk losing your marriage, that you up you know, the upheaval of your life and your family. If that needs to happen for you to hit your rock bottom, then that might need to happen, as awful as it is, and I would hope that isn't the case. But if you are still being enticed by someone who, objectively speaking, sounds to be so completely wrong in all ways, a red flag of staying well away from this person. That is, I imagine this person, I just see a massive red flag and a whole bucket of pain for you and everyone involved. I think you need to stay well away from this guy.
No, I agree. That's true. He's a walking red flag.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jennifer.
I'm so sorry you're going through this.
I bet he's like really charming and handsome and an amazing lover,
charismatic, and all that. You know,
those are my husband. That's my husband. He's charming and handsome and amazing lover. That's why it's like, why did this happen? So that's where
because
I
you know what,
yeah,
but so that's why I like priority. You know, maybe you tell him like, I really want our future to be able to. Like, I want to spend more time with you, and that if that means like, you know, traveling with you and the kids more, or, you know, I don't know, like, but figuring out a way where you guys can prioritize being around each other.
I think that's all great advice. Jennifer,
I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry we went on and on.
I love you. Thank you guys so much.
And, you know, let us know what happens.
Yeah, please. A lot of our listeners I know are like have very similar problems. So thank you so much for being vulnerable.
I kind of hope so I can feel a little bit better.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. And we'll let you know. We'll let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye. I love you.
Bye.
But wow, that's tough.
Yeah, that is complicated.
Haley.
Hi.
At some point, I think we're supposed to plug projects.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's why I'm here.
Okay. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's
you
so
gave
nice.
Amazing advice. So,
so did you.
Howard's End.
Mm.
It looks fucking incredible. I was almost cast in it.
Well, you were cast in I Give It a Year, right?
Yes.
And I auditioned for that part and you
did?
Got it. Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's probably because your American accent wasn't as great.
No, I think she was English and they made her American for you.
I think so, because I was like, I can't. Oh, God.
So there you go.
Well, yeah. Fuck.
So
listen, if it's any consolation, no one will ever consider me for anything dramatic or period. Like,
I think I'm just going to stick to the period dramas and you do the cool rom-coms.
Oh,
well, you're doing the Marvel stuff too. I mean, you're doing everything.
Yeah, but I think she's done. I mean, I haven't had a call from them in a while.
What about the next Avengers?
Don't think so.
No?
I mean, they're still filming it, right? But I think one's coming out this year. But okay. It's the thing, you never know what's going to happen because they're so protective and as they should be, because, you know, if it's leaked, then it ruins the plot. So they want to make sure that they can surprise their audiences.
I sent Anna an article from NPR today with a review of Howard's End. Mm. My God, they love the show.
Yeah, they do.
And they love you.
Oh,
I think the
so
headline
nice.
Was, I don't even remember what it was, but it was Hayley Atwell is the greatest actress of all time or something like that.
Well, I'm coming back here. This is fabulous. So Kenny Lonergan has adapted it, and he, of course, is the Oscar-winning writer director of Manchester by the Sea. So when I found out about Howard's End and the offer came in, and that Kenny's attached to it, it just felt that this was really cool. This was great. I didn't want it to be this mannered period drama that was only going to appeal to people who liked period dramas. You know, I wanted it to be able to be accessible, whatever genre it was. And I feel like Kenny does that. He writes human beings and he writes interactions very honestly, and he kind of understands the human condition or how to convey it on paper. So it's a beautiful four-parter. That started last night, Sunday, the 8th. So it's on every Sunday now for 4 weeks.
Great. And I'm sure that they can have it on the Stars app. I'm sure there's iTunes. They can get it anywhere, right?
Yes, exactly. You can get it. But it's on Stars. But hopefully there'll be like,
other places.
A little bit that I saw.
Mm.
I love how the camera holds on you. And how, because you're so emotive, you know, in those silent moments.
Yeah, that's written actually, because they wanted Margaret Schlegel that even when she wasn't saying anything, that she's really present. So she's very active in thinking. So I wanted to make sure that was conveyed. So even I'm not just sitting there waiting for my line to come through, but there is an inner world that's happening. She's kind of amazing. And also I feel she's one of those kind of a real kind of iconic roles in literature, where you have this independent thinker who navigates her way really elegantly and intelligently, but there is loads of scope for her to be messy, make mistakes, contradictory, hypocritical, sanctimonious, gossipy, judgmental.
There's a lot of syllables you're just spewing out there.
I'm using all the big words I know.
Literature. Sanctimonious.
Hashtag classic.
So I read an article today that Goldie Hawn gave Anna her blessing for Overboard. Did Emma Thompson have to give you her blessing for this role?
Well, she's my mate, and she played my mom in Brideshead Revisited 10 years ago. So she's always been a mentor for me.
I feel like I'm consumed with jealousy right now. I'm just going to sink into the sofa.
I'm jealous of myself.
Sim.
That was such like a weird question. You never ask questions like that.
What are you talking about?
It was so well framed.
Thank you.
It felt like
we were
on a fucking actual talk show.
You think
show.
I'm some kind of like dumb?
Yes, I
dumb?
Do. Yes, I do.
Oh,
you're
God.
Fucking ding dong. Fuck
amazing.
You.
Great.
Oh, God. Sorry.
But
Emma and you are best friends.
The big M, the big
Gohan.
E. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish. I wish.
If I make a scary movie 5, would you be in it?
Yes.
Haley.
Can I be the hand?
Maybe you could.
Can I just be, I'll be the giant hand. Like it's expanded. It's gotten bigger in the 5th one.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off with my own narcissism and embarrassment. Will you please go on about Emma Thompson? God. So you guys
guys are best friends and you go to lunch together and
we hang. I mean, she's a busy lady. There's a lot of people in her life, but you know. I of course wanted to pay homage and say, you know, they're doing the impossible. I just bow down to what you did and what it is and what it meant for you and your career and the recognition that she's so rightly deserved.
It's not that big of a deal. It's just
I know. I was an absolute lovey, total lovey about it. And she was like, don't watch what I did. You are she is you. But she did say a piece of advice, which was also always wear good underwear when you're on set. It's just that little secret that you have for yourself.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, wait, does that mean like boy shorts that like,
whatever makes you feel good, just do that. But she was like, just wear really nice, treat yourself to some nice underwear. Huh. Yeah, I just thought, oh, that's quite cool. And then she would say things like, choose one point in the show, in the film, whatever it is, where you cry, and let that be the only time for maximum dramatic impact.
That's what I always did with Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, 4. In fact, I think I gave Emma that advice.
Oh, well. Yep.
And she took it from me.
See how you're, it's moving on. It's amazing how like you're just a beacon of light to all these actors. Like, thanks to you. They should be more gratitude.
The industry, yep. Like,
you deserve more.
I need a round of applause.
Quite right.
See, well, I'm going to give you both a round of applause and end the show right now.
Oh, thank you. Everyone.
Wait. Haley, will you just say, because I feel a little ornery right now, will you just say fuck you, Sim, if you don't mind? Say, oh, will you say, you're a fucking cunt? But I gave you that line.
Okay, so Anna told me to say, hey, Sim, you're a fucking cunt. Oh, God, that was good.
Good night, everyone.
You're so kind. She's a cunt.